I think I started daydreaming just a few moments ago, and I had a flashback to my childhood. I remember one Saturday morning, I woke up, and I walked out to the back door into the forest. Now, when I say forest, I really mean the backyard. But to me, it was a forest. And so when I walked out there, I thought, oh my word, it's perfect. I have got to take advantage of this opportunity. You may not know this about me, but when I was 8 years old, I was quite the big game hunter. I know, you don't know that side of me, but it's still there. And I thought to myself, I've just got a little window here. I'm going to take advantage of it. So I went back into the house, you know, leaving the forest for a brief moment. I went to the kitchen, and I found what I was looking for, an old piece of bread. When I went back out to the forest, I very quietly and carefully walked over to the large bush or vine growing along the fence. And I said, this looks like as good a place as any to set the bait. And so as I put the old bread down on the ground, I made sure it was right by the clump of vines and roots, because I knew that's where my quarry lived. And so I walked backwards quietly, making sure I didn't step on a twig or a leaf to make too much sound or noise, because, you know, a wild beast has a heightened sense. They're on edge. Every day is fight or flight. They never know when they're going to live or where they're going to die. So I stood back behind the bush, a holly bush, and that was my favorite blind to conceal myself from the wild game. And there was a little bit of fog and mist, but that doesn't usually distract me when I'm totally focused on the quarry. And in the split moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I saw it. The quarry I'd been after had stepped out from his home, completely unaware that I was watching him from a distance of 20 paces. I don't even think he looked around. But I made a fatal error. Or not fatal. When I removed the safety of my Crossman 760 pump-up air rifle, my high-tech exotic BB gun, it made a clicking sound. And the mouse grabbed the piece of bread and ran back into his home. And that was the end of that. Well, I was reading some research recently. And to me, this is so interesting. To me, it provides a certain level of stimulation that not a lot of other stuff does, because it's hard to explain. But you've got to look at the information to say this is incredible. Well, there are components that are found in plants that are unlike anything else. They're certainly not like drugs. They're not pharmaceuticals. They're a blend of 10,000 different elements that you just cannot take it apart and put it back together and have the same thing. But God's creation is so tremendous and magical that it can give you what you need. And I tend to think to myself, I wonder what plant or what substance in nature would actually help this person heal. Well, let me share this with you right here. There was one recent discovery by a team of researchers and scientists that I find very intriguing. They've discovered that in plants that you have these very small fragments of what's called RNA, that's known as ribonucleic acid. And these ribonucleic acid molecules or fragments, what they do is they modify either an animal or a human's genetic behavior. Well, what that means to you is, if you can consume these small fragments of RNA from a plant, it can actually help your body work better. Now, who's not into that? Well, one unique form of this RNA is called messenger RNA. Sometimes it has a small N, M as in Morgan. No, that's for messenger, which is the messenger RNA. It's kind of like a software program. Because what it does is, when we consume it from a plant, it instructs the cells in your body to assemble a specific protein or to perform some highly specific task that's very advantageous to you and very valuable. And so let's just say it a different way. If you do not like the way you feel, then that's all you need to know. Your body's telling you something needs to change. And so that's where we have God's creation at our fingertips. And so another type of RNA that's found in plants is composed of very small fragments called microRNAs. Now, this to me is intriguing because it plays a huge role in how the cells either grow and also how they die and how cells function and how they're balanced when they produce energy. You've heard me say this many times. I'll say it again. You must have energy if you're going to heal. Without that, you can't do it. Well, not that long ago, Chinese scientists in a laboratory, they used one particular plant that I know that you love and you've seen. And I can't tell you how many of these that I've consumed in my lifetime. I haven't probably in a few years, but I think this is my goal. I'm going to plant one and I'm going to start sucking on it. It's called the Japanese honeysuckle. You know how you pull that little, you break the flower off in the end and it has nectar in it. Now I know why hummingbirds go ape over that. Well, in this particular study, and this is just simple and straightforward, but I like it that way. Chinese scientists, they took advantage of the Japanese honeysuckle. Let me see, what is its scientific name? Lonicera japonica or japonica? Potato, potato. So if you have the plant in your backyard called the Japanese honeysuckle, don't kill it. Do not put Roundup on it. It is highly valuable. But in this unique study, they said this has been used traditionally for hundreds of years to help human beings when they suffer from horrible colds or the flu. And so if you look at traditional Chinese medicine, now there you go. You got a remedy for a viral infection. But what they looked at in this study was they wanted to show or demonstrate how these microRNAs, you know, the ribonucleic acid, could actually help a beautiful human being when they're sick and they have a viral infection. The study showed that when mice drank honeysuckle tea, you're probably thinking, well, how did mice drink honeysuckle tea? Did they go to Daiso and buy the little bitty dishes or the ceramic pottery to sip it with? I don't know. I would guess that they just put it in their drinking water. That's not a bad deal. Isn't that like treating the mice very well? Saying, oh, you cute little guy, you, I'm going to give you some honeysuckle tea. So the study showed that when the mice drank the honeysuckle tea, that these microRNAs, or the ribonucleic acid, they traveled through the bloodstream exactly where now? To the lungs. And when they went to the lungs, guess what these microRNAs did from the honeysuckle? They directly targeted influenza type A virus. Obviously, they infected the mice with the flu, influenza type A, and then they gave them honeysuckle tea. Well, guess what? It was not just a success, it was an overwhelming success. You know what? You might want to remember this information. Have you ever heard the phrase before that knowledge is power? Well, if you use it, it is. If you just sit on the fence and say, I can't decide whether to get honeysuckle tea or not, well, probably not going to have much benefit if you don't take it. At the end of the day, what are we looking at here? Action speaks louder than words. You got to have something behind your faith, right? And so this influenza A virus that's known to cause the flu, which, that's bad. I'm not wishing the flu on anybody. You know, this particular group of viruses, They're also the viruses that were famous for causing that Spanish flu back in the year 1918. Probably every single person listening to me this morning watches TV more than I do. It's just the way it is. I mean, I've had people ask me, did you see the news? And I said, no, I haven't. Of course, I'll let people fill me in on the details and what's going on in the world. But you've seen pictures from 1918. It's horrific. I don't know. The estimation is somewhere between 50 to maybe 100 million plus that died all over the globe from the Spanish flu. And so another wicked form of the flu is called the swine flu or the avian flu. Well, they're the same viruses, the same family of viruses that would come, that would be a close relative of the influenza type A virus. That's what they injected these mice with. So here we have an herb, this Japanese honeysuckle. I know you know what honeysuckle is. If you don't know what honeysuckle is, just Google it and look at it, and you'll go, ah, now I know what you're talking about, Dr. Morgan. So here we have it. We have a plant called the Japanese honeysuckle. When they gave it to the mice in the form of a tea, well, guess what happened? It reduced the symptoms of the flu caused by the virus. And so before they had this exact model to trace it and figure it out, they thought that maybe this herb just had some sort of magical effect. But, you know, sometimes I use the word magical when I'm overwhelmed with ideas and I go, I don't understand how this works, but I know it works. So does that mean that God loves you? Yeah, I think so. He loves me too. He loves all of us. And if we would just take time to listen and open up your mind and explore a new possibility that maybe there is a plan out there that maybe could improve your health. So I present to you this morning the honeysuckle plant. If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. I've had like a couple, three people try to call in, and I was just, I wanted to make sure I got the information, the honeysuckle out. This program is called Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. If you want to join me on the air, well, then you can call right now. Oh, maybe it'd help if I push these buttons first. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
I'm awesome. I'm trying to turn my radio down.
Thank you very much.
I talked with you once before. I was having those, they call them sty on my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me what to do, but it's been like 3 years, and I haven't had it since, but you're kind of starting over again, and I wonder if you could give me that information again.
Well, let me just tell you what's on my mind right now, because I cannot remember what I told you 3 years ago. All right, number one. If you take and look at a carrot, you go, man, that is one orange vegetable there. But if you cut a carrot in half, you start to look at it, and it looks like an iris almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so historically, I mean, haven't you heard before that carrots are just really good for the eyes?
Yes.
Well, one thing that's in carrots that's going to be very, very valuable when it comes to a sty is you have what's called vitamin A. And vitamin A is literally one of the very first fat-soluble vitamins that was ever discovered. And now, that's not why they call it vitamin A. That's what I would think. I would think, hey, they're just going to go through the alphabet, and the first one they discover, they're going to call it A. And the next one they're going to call B, and then C. But the reason they call vitamin A is because it's known as the anti-infective vitamin. And so, I know you don't know me, but when someone comes to see me, and I think, dude, you are having one infection after the other. We have got to find a way to get your body stronger where it can do its job on its own. And quite often, if a person doesn't have enough of the very thing that they need to prevent and overcome infection, well, guess what? They're going to struggle for a long time. And so if you had, and I'll give you a bunch of ideas here.
Okay.
What if you tried eating a sweet potato a day and a serving of carrots? Well, bingo. You would get a boatload of vitamin A. Other people, like Mr. Drew, he's going to have what's called a cold masticating juicer. I know that because I saw his post on Facebook. And I said, hey, Drew, Way to go, man. But a coal masticating juicer, you can get a good one for around $100. I know that's money, but it would be investment that would just prove to be extremely, it would just pay you back huge dividends. But a masticating juicer is a real slow-moving juicer that just basically squeezes the blood out of the carrot. Well, that's the way I think of it. But if you had a juicer, you could literally, with a sty in your eye, if you were to take like 4 carrots, 2 or 3 ribs of celery, and take a lemon, there's a type of a knife that I'm just in love with. It's called a bird's beak or a hawk's bill. I call them a hawk's bill knife. But it's a knife that's got like a little bit of a curve to the blade, and you can use it. I mean, I can just take and zip around a grapefruit or an orange or a lemon just like in no time at all. I can also cut my finger off, because if you saw, I mean, I walked out there and I said, maybe I should not be doing this so fast. I should pay attention. That blade is sharp. But if you had a hawk's bill knife, you could just remove the outer part of the rind. But if you took the carrots, a little bit of celery, and if you want to put like a green apple in there for flavor, that's all good too. Mm-hmm. And my other remedy that I'm just in love with is ginger root. Oh my goodness. If somebody comes to see me and they have a wicked infection, I'm thinking what we need here is we need just a little bit of drainage. And drainage may not be like a real common word that's used today, but I'm telling you, it is exactly what you want. So if you ran just a little bit of fresh ginger root through that, along with that lemon, what you're going to do is you're going to be flooding your immune system with all the nutrients that it needs to rise to the occasion and help your body heal. And so it'll start to clear these styes out. I know, I've had, you don't know this, but every person that walks in my door is my own personal guinea pig. Now, don't tell anybody my secret, but I get to experiment with every person that walks in my door, and I think to myself, how can I deceive them into getting well today? What can I trick them with? I'm just joking about that. But if you start drinking this juice, this will actually strengthen all the tissues around your eye, and it will help your immune system do its job. Now, I know you know this, but I'm going to be redundant for the sake of everybody else. As a human being ages, they tend to historically have more and more inflammation in the body. That means unless they change course, things are going to get worse and not going to get better. And I know why you're calling, because you want to get better. And you want to be a beautiful, radiant, strong woman, right?
Right.
Because when you're strong and radiant, you can go out in the world and you can do good stuff and make the world a better place, right?
That's correct.
Do you have any desire to perform bad things today in this world?
Not at all.
I didn't think so. So we're going to focus on the good stuff then. And so if you drank that juice once a day, that will strengthen all your eye tissues right there. It'll be beautiful for them. Now, the hardest thing on the eyes when it comes to a sty, and I realize this is not going to be popular, but I know you called me because you want me to be straight and blunt and honest with you. But if you eat a lot of sugar, ain't no way to get over this.
No, but lately I have been craving a lot of sugar.
Well, I had a phone call yesterday, and a woman called, and on the message she says, Dr. Morgan, I'm not taking naps throughout the day anymore, and my energy's back, and I feel really, really good, and I'm not craving sugar anymore. You know what I gave her?
What?
I gave her zinc. So if I told you that zinc is the absolute cornerstone from the mineral kingdom of your immune system, I think that I'm 100% correct on that. And so if here lately you've got a little sty coming up on your eye, or it's an annoyance, it may not be a bad one, but it's enough to get your attention, you're going, great, that does not feel good, what can I do to help my body? But if you start taking zinc internally, your fortunes will start to change for the better. It'll be a point in your life. You know what I think you're going to do? I think you're going to tell me 2 weeks from now if you call me back, because I love feedback from people. Even if it's bad feedback. Mm-hmm. I mean, if a person calls me and says, how dare you trick me into getting well, Dr. Morgan? I go, okay, you caught me. I'm sorry I forced you to lose 35 pounds in the last 2 months and get your energy back. You know, I'm just joking about that. But if you...
Oh, no,
if
that
you,
sounds good. Tell me more.
Well, what'll happen is it's very common when a person's under a significant amount of stress in their life. I'm not asking you personal questions. I'm just kind of stating you know, possible scenarios on how this could get this way. When you have stress and your mind's racing all the time, you're going to burn through your nutrients at a much faster rate. I mean, can you buy into what I'm telling you, that when you have mental or emotional stress, you are burning through the nutrients you have in reserve so fast? It's just unbelievable.
Yes.
And so if you start taking a little bit of zinc with food every day, along with foods that are high in vitamin A. I mean, sometimes I do use supplements for that, but I'm always thinking, what does this person need? Do not underestimate, Roy, what will happen to a person when you give them exactly what they have been needing for a long time. Because when you give a person what they need, all of a sudden they can start to heal. And they can start to come out of the pit of despair. I know. I've been there before. Mm-hmm. Do you think I'm going to lie to you and tell you I've never been in poor or working order? That'd be a joke. So I think if you did these things right here, that would be good. Now, the other thing that I want to kind of sell you on, this might be like a slightly different topic.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very, very famous island just right there at New York City. It's called Ellis Island. You ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what?
What?
When immigrants would travel to America from, say, Ireland on a cargo ship, they would make sure that they were free of disease before they would let them off the boat onto the island. But one year, and for some reason in my mind, I'm thinking 1897, they had a group of immigrants from Europe, and they had one of the worst cases of the flu of all time. And so, could you imagine being crammed together like sardines in the hold of a ship, and you're sick, and everyone's hacking and coughing? Of course, I'm probably thinking they've got projectile vomiting. You know, just they wouldn't let him off the ship. Now, the doctor in charge, I forget his name, but I thought it was a brilliant call in 1897. What he did was he sent over what's called colloidal silver. Have you ever heard of colloidal silver?
I have, but I'm not sure.
Wouldn't you say that if you had like a silver coin in your hand, that would have some value to it?
Yes.
That's because it's made of silver. It's a precious metal. That's what Abraham used to purchase the cave at Machpelah so he could bury his wife Sarah, which personally I think that's very sweet that he bought a cave for her. But to make a long story short, this doctor, before he would allow the immigrants to come off the boat and come to America, they had to be completely quarantined and proved to be free of disease before they were let off the boat. And so he sent over colloidal silver. And guess what happened? In 2 days, they were all clear to get off the boat. That's unheard of. Now, I'm going to give you an idea. I'm not telling you what to do and how to run your life, but I want to be straight with you. I'm going to tell you what I would do if it was me, okay?
Okay. Well, I'm going to hang up and let you tell me.
Okay, good. Thank you for your phone call, by the way. If it were me, I would take colloidal silver. One of the brands that I've used is called Sovereign Silver. You can buy an ounce or two of it for like $10, maybe. I don't really remember the price. It's probably close to that. But the concentration that I use is called 10 parts per million. So when you look on the label, it'll say 10 ppm. That's parts per million. And I would probably put the drops of colloidal silver directly in my eye. Now, there's other things I'd probably put in my eye, too, but I'm not asking anybody else to do it because it's brutal. But it works. Like a drop of fresh lemon juice. But I'm not telling anybody else to do that. Maybe even castor oil. If you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open. 903-586-5257, and you can call me right now if you want to, or not. Let me see if I can find this information that I was looking up this morning. I left my ringer on. Better turn that off. Okay, here goes right here. Oh, well, let's go to the phone lines first, okay? That's more important. Okay, good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning. I am good.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Except for one thing.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, I have what is it?
I have a really bad sinus drainage. and I have cut out completely all dairy.
Good girl.
And I still have it. It's better, but it's not going away, so I have developed a cough. And
I wonder where the sinus drainage is going. I'm joking.
The back of my throat.
Yeah,
into my
I
stomach.
Think we know where it's going. Well, yeah. Some of it's probably going to your lungs. What color is the drainage when you blow your nose?
Well, it was yellow, but now since I've cut out the dairy, it's clear.
Good call. Way to go. Well, what would you like to do?
I'd like to know what else I need to do to get rid of this cough.
Would you say that you have a very open mind?
Yes.
Would you say you're willing to experiment with a semi-crazy idea if I float you an idea this morning?
I am.
Okay, here it goes. Now, I'm only telling you this.
Okay.
Not anybody else that may have the same problem. I'm only devoted to you. You got that?
Yes.
If you had a steam kettle, when I walked in Walmart the other day, I walked down the aisle that had steam kettles. A stainless steel steam kettle cost $9.97. I think it's a bargain. But you put water in the steam kettle. I'll just say half full. And then if you would add to the steam kettle 1 teaspoon of just fresh cinnamon powder.
Mm,
and then I
okay.
would use 1 teaspoon, or these actually could be heaping spoonfuls. It doesn't matter to me at all. It's fine. So you want to use a spoonful of cinnamon and a spoonful of thyme. T-H-Y-M-E, thyme, or thyme.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then you want to use somewhere between 2 and 4 drops of just what's called clove oil. Clove oil is very easy to come by. I can't imagine a bottle of it costing more than $5. But if you put that in the steam kettle, this is the second part of the equation. Turn the stove or the burner on high, whether it's electric or gas, and bring it to a boil. But you want to flip that little bitty lid that has a whistle on it, because I don't want to use that part of it. I mean, you could leave the whistle on, but once it starts whistling and steam starts, you know, boiling, pouring out, you can flip the whistle up. But what I want is, I want to take advantage of the steam kettle, because it does a really great job of kind of funneling and directing the steam. And, of course, everybody needs direction, don't they? And so,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Good direction. I think I'm giving you great direction this morning. But you're going to stand maybe... You can't see, but I'm kind of holding my hands to kind of measure. Let's just say you stand 2 feet away from where the steam is exiting the kettle. If you had a towel over your head, what I really want you to do is I want you to stand there, or I want you to discipline yourself to stand there for about 10 minutes. The steam is going to be hot, but it's not going to burn you from that distance. If you were 1.2 inches away, yes, you'd have to go to the ER after 10 minutes with 20th degree burns. I made that last part up. So if you would give yourself a steam breathing treatment, what you want to do is, it's called box breathing. You want to breathe in slowly and deeply for 4 seconds. Now, I know this sounds very, very simplistic, but if you were to take a deep breath in through your nose right now, it takes literally 4 seconds. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004. For you to get air from the tip of your nose down to the lowest part of your lungs. The lowest part of your lungs, that's where all those oxygen-rich blood vessels are. And you can't get a person over a cough unless you can steam clean. Okay, I know what I'm going to say is going to come across as gross, but, you know, I think I live in reality. But you know what boogers and snot and gunk in the nose is, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's down your lungs right now, and steam is going to be the way that we're going to clear that stuff out. Now, legally, I cannot look you in the eye and say, I promise you these are medicinal, they have anti-infective properties, because they say you can't do that, so I'm not worried about that. But if you take the cinnamon and the thyme and the clove oil and all that boiling water that's going to be making some delicious steam for you, if you can stand there for 10 minutes and start breathing in deeply for 4 seconds, hold it in your lungs for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, and then hold that for 4 seconds and start over again, you're going to have about 4 really deep breaths every minute. And if you'll do that, we are going to start breaking up all that gunk in your lungs and in your bronchioles or your bronchial tree. It's going to start cleaning all the gunk out of your nose, and you're going to get over this. What do you think about them apples?
Well, it sounds really good.
But it's easy enough, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you rather pay a $7,000 going to the ER, or would you rather try this first?
Oh, I'm going to try this first.
Man, I think I like you already.
Okay. Well, my throat tickles a lot, and that's what my cough comes from.
Well, you've got what's called drainage.
Yeah.
And it's working its way down the back of your throat. So the cough is just your body saying, oh, my goodness, we can't handle any more gunk in here. Let's kick it out.
Okay.
You can do it. You can do all these things. You can do it twice a day. I bet you anything you'll call me tomorrow morning and tell me that you're all better. Wait.
I certainly would like that.
Wait, I'd have to give you my cell phone on the radio. That would not go well. You cannot believe how many... Let me see. What did I get right here? You can't believe how many texts I got last night. I think it was 16 after 11 o'clock. And I'm thinking to myself, could you just text me before 8 o'clock and not 11? Come on.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrible.
Well, I don't want to say it's terrible. I made it sound bad. It sounded like I was complaining. I shouldn't be complaining. But the text is from somebody that's very concerned about their health. But I'm thinking, I thought we just covered this topic 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
No, but he's a good guy. He needs help. But I think you're going to tell me that your fortunes start to change for the better and this starts to turn around in a good way. Oh, and I can't wait to hear how you do.
All right.
You know what? I have big plans for you. You better not let me down.
No, I'm ready to get rid of this cough. It just seems to strike at the most inopportune times.
Well, you know, in the back of my mind, and this is going to come across as slightly negative, but pneumonia is a real deal. And it's deadly. If a person is older and they get sick and they lay in bed for a few days, there's always a very high risk of fluid building up in the lungs when you're down, and then they're gone from pneumonia. So we need to do some real deep cleaning of your lungs. So let's restore your lungs. This is a great phone call. I'm so glad you called me today. You made my day.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful.
Well, you have a good day, and tell me what happens, okay?
All right, I will.
Thank you for your phone call, and have a great day,
man. You have a great day.
Bye-bye. Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye. All righty. There's a phone line open. There is plenty of time. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Wait a second. Is this a male caller?
I'm afraid so.
Boy, you threw me a curveball. Go ahead.
Listen, I want to thank you on behalf of all of your listening audience that listens to you so faithfully on Saturday mornings for all the good that you're doing in East Texas for our health.
Oh, you
do this selflessly, and you do this in God's way with scriptures at all the appropriate times, and I just want to tell you I personally appreciate you, and I know everyone in East Texas does as well. So thank you from the bottom of my heart and for your listening audience.
You are so kind. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Now, I'm just a little bit hard of hearing, so if you don't mind, please speak up right into that receiver. But I'm calling to get a little assistance about arthritis.
Okay.
I'm 83 years old, have been a senior athlete, have been playing senior basketball, and doing reasonably well, winning a medal here and a medal there in the states and the national tournaments.
Oh, how cool.
But actually, since I turned 80, I've won 4 medals, 3 golds, and a bronze. But I work out a lot, and because the gyms have been closed, I've been working out on my treadmill at home, and it seems to be taking a toll on my joints. And my right ankle, not long ago, got extremely sore, swollen. It was warm to the touch when you touched the swollen part, and so I just assumed it was arthritis and did the things that I knew for arthritis, and eventually it went away. But that, I had an attack like that 2 years ago when I was traveling. I traveled to Las Vegas by air, and on the plane I could feel my ankle twitching.
Yeah.
It was just twitching on the plane, and by the time I landed, I could hardly walk.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, I'm just asking for what kind of advice you would give to an 83-year-old ex-jock, and would love to still be a jock, but I'm right now having a few troubles with my joints.
Okay, number one, there's a fat-soluble vitamin called vitamin K2.
Oh, yeah. I take vitamin K2, the MK7 version.
Yeah, the dose that you're going to need is a little over 1,000 micrograms a day if you're going to have any chance of it working. So
okay, I may be under-supplementing. Okay. I may need to be improving that to 1,000 micrograms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just take a look at that. The next thing, there's an organic form of sulfur. It's called methyl sulfonylmethane, but it's also known as MSM.
Oh, yeah, MSM, sure.
So if you took MSM every day, glucosamine sulfate, chondroitin sulfate, what they all have in common is they have sulfur. Now, if I told you just in simple terms that the highest amount of arthritis in North America is going to be in regions where they have absolutely the lowest amount of sulfur in the soil.
Mm.
And people that have the highest amount of sulfur in their soil, guess what they have?
The lowest.
Yeah, that's it. They have no arthritis. How about that? And so if you're not taking MSM every day, now that right there, that could start to be a game changer for you.
Okay. Well, that's great and simple and easy enough to do.
One more thing. Number three. There is a substance that's found in red wine. It's a polyphenol. It's known as resveratrol. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah, I take red wine every day just for health.
Well, if you get some resveratrol, I think there's a form called CIS, as in C-I-S, and there's one called TRANS, T-R-A-N-S, TRANS. I couldn't spell TRANS. But the TRANS resveratrol, that could also be a game changer for you. Now, if it were me, I would not eat wheat at all if I had arthritis.
Right.
And I would focus on, I know you're going to not appreciate what I'm about to say, but I want you to know that I love you and care about you. So I need you to eat a ribeye steak or a T-bone once or twice a week for the benefit of your ankles. Now, I realize I can tell in your voice you're a little resistant and hesitant.
Yeah. That's a big sacrifice. That's okay. Like drinking the red wine. But,
okay.
You know, the two go together.
All right. There's no need to complain, sir. I'm just trying to help. So, now, the other thing that I think that you really need to do, if you've got arthritis of the joints, I really think you need to eat some fish from the ocean. And if that's called salmon or sardines or haddock or halibut or flounder, so be it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that rather frequently. I have salmon and sardines in the pantry right now.
Now, the last thing that I want you to do, and you're going to have to totally do this based on faith because it's not going to make logical sense. Now, I'm looking at myself in the mirror right now, and I'm asking myself, Roy, are you logical? Are you reasonable? Okay, I'm not looking in the mirror. I'm looking at the computer monitor. There's nothing coming back to me. But I would, if it were me, the other thing that I would do, and you're just going to have to trust me on this, the most painful joint that you have right now, I'm just going to choose the ankle from your description. If you will take a lemon, cut the lemon in half and squeeze fresh
juice. Dr. Morgan, right now you're fading out on me a little bit.
Well, are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on a landline.
Well, I'm right in the microphone. Sorry about that. But fresh lemon juice on your ankle. Let it air dry. And then cover it with extra virgin olive oil. Do this 5 times a day for 2 weeks and tell me if the joint feels like $1 million.
Great.
Okay. Thanks for your phone call.
Well, I thank you so very much, Dr.
Oh, you're
Morgan.
Welcome. Thank you for your phone
and
call.
Thank you for all things. God
oh,
bless
yeah. You betcha. God bless you, buddy. Bye-bye. All right. The phone number is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question or make a comment. If I kind of pose an idea to you that lemon juice, it's going to act like a very simple yet interesting solvent. A solvent is a substance that helps dissolve debris, which I know you've been to the store and gotten some furniture, polish or oil. Isn't it usually like lemon oil? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. It's the Lamb Girl. How are you?
Oh, so good. I'm so glad we had another female caller. who do these men think they are, 83 years old, trying to go and compete in basketball? They should do more girly stuff like raise lambs.
That's amazing. God
am bless. I right? Am I right about that?
Exactly right. We need more lamb.
Of course, if he told me where his basketball game was today, I would go and sit in the stands just so I could watch him do a 360 Michael Jordan slam dunk.
There you go. I'm impressed. Well, I'm actually calling for a friend of mine. She has an autoimmune disease, vitiligo.
Yes, ma'am.
And her hair is thinning a lot, and just wondering if there's anything that can be done to help her out.
Well, I'm going to treat those as two separate things. I know you might be thinking they're the same thing, but I don't think that way.
Okay.
So if the hair is thinning out, one very simple blood test is called ferritin. And so if she goes to the doctor and says, would you please measure my ferritin levels, ferritin, ferritin.
The iron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when mm-hmm. ferritin is going to give you a very good reflection of what you have in reserve. And so if ferritin falls to 40 or below, there's not much a woman can do to stop hair loss. And the reason I'm saying that is iron seems to play a very powerful role in regulating hair regeneration and hair growth. So in knowing that, if a woman's ferritin levels are at, let's just say, 16, her hair's coming out, baby.
Nothing she can do to stop it, huh?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Because I wanted to provide you, that's why I'm telling you this. Because
okay.
if we can figure this out, mm-hmm. then we can have success, which is what she wants. And so if her ferritin rate's low, then here, I know I'm confusing, I'm sorry, but let me tell you what I'm thinking. If the ferritin rate is low, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say, well, tell me about your diet. And she says, well, Dr. Morgan, I eat Ritz crackers all day long, and I drink grape soda. Well, I'm going to say, I think I've solved the mystery here. I think I figured out why. But you've got to actually put food in your body that can actually rebuild it. And so, actually, can I just be honest with you? I think this is all good right here. Because this is a gift. When you have a problem, such as hair loss, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, okay, what is the deal? That's all I want you to do, because your body is designed by God to warn you and to alert you when something's not working right. So I know that's like a different weird take on it, that this is good. But you know what? She's going to listen to you, and you're mm-hmm. a good friend. Mm-hmm. And so what I want both of you to do is ask, could you please explain why the iron would be low? Well, and that's where I'm going to tie into the vitiligo. Vitiligo is an autoimmune disease, and that means something is triggering the immune system to kill those cells called melanocytes. And melanocytes, that's what produces melanin, and that gives you that dark, you know, creamy mm-hmm. skin. I want you, off the top of your head, I want you to name a country on the planet where you could look at them as a whole and say they have extremely beautiful skin. Where would you say?
Mediterranean.
You mean like Greece?
Yeah, Greece, Italy.
Now, would you prefer them to be albino white, or would you prefer them to have a little bit of tan?
A little bit of a tan. I have very yeah. olive skin.
You know what? I don't like you all of a sudden.
I can walking to the mailbox, so.
Ma'am, you disgust me. I don't even want to talk to you. Yes, this is horrible. Your creamy, tan, olive skin. This is just horrible. but if you had those cells die that make your skin tan, then that mm-hmm. would be typical of vitiligo. But what yeah. the point is, she's eating something that's acting as a trigger. And when I say a trigger, and most likely if she eats wheat, I'm just breaking it down as about as quickly as I can to you. If she eats wheat, it's going to cause inflammation in the gut, and that's going to block absorption of nutrients to build hair. So you tell me, is skin and hair that much different? No.
Yeah.
They're almost identical. If you've ever taken a match or a cigarette lighter, I'm not saying that I ever did this as a child, so I don't want you thinking this was me, but if you burn hair with a cigarette lighter, it smells bad. But that's protein. So we have to find out where the glitch in her armor is, and that would be my first guess right there. And so the solution would be, and you know, like the last caller, I mean, I am.
She's
so,
a very, you know, trim, pretty woman.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah, she's not overweight by any means. She watches what she eats and probably maybe could watch more, you know. And maybe she's getting wheat in secret areas that you don't realize is coming in.
Can I tell you what it takes?
Reading.
The study that was done from the year 1981, and it was a 20-year study, so it ended in 2001. And all they did was they took these people that had autoimmune disease called celiac disease.
Oh.
And they broke them down to two categories. The first category was people that had celiac, but they ate no wheat whatsoever for 20 years. That means they avoid it like the plague. The second group, now I find this interesting right here. In this group, they only had wheat once a month. For example, they had one muffin a month, or what I should say is probably like one bagel a month. And so what was the difference between the two of them? The ones that had zero wheat, they lived 7 years longer than those that had wheat once a month.
Mm.
And so that's left an indelible impression upon my brain as to the seriousness. So all your friend has to do is just have wheat once a month, and she's going to keep the antibodies going, and that's going to continue to attack her hair follicles and her skin.
Well, is there anything else that triggers it?
Well, yes, but I mean, it's all theoretical. I mean, it could be corn, it could be dairy.
Ah, corn.
So those are possibilities.
So she needs to go on an elimination diet.
Well, sure. I mean, at some point she wants to figure this out and you want to be a good friend to her, but mm-hmm. we gotta find a way to calm the body down. So that this is a really big deal. I can't state
okay.
it strongly enough. If she's eating one thing that her immune system is going bonkers over when she eats it, we have to identify what that is.
Yeah.
And then eliminate it. But an elimination diet is one of the ways of doing that. That's brilliant.
Okay.
Wait, did I just call you brilliant?
It's early. What can I say? You slipped up.
You know what? I just woke up 5 minutes before I showed up anyway and say so. So.
Okay, so just one thing can re-trigger that. Okay.
Yes. And so in the meantime, here's what she needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to probably eat the very substance that can rebuild the hair very, very easily. So I know that not everybody digs what I say, but one ribeye steak a week or one T-bone steak a week would probably do her wonders. It has everything that she needs to rebuild hair.
Okay.
Or actually, what I should say is two lamb chops a week. or was that rather offensive, young lady?
I tell you, my skin has gotten so nice since I've been eating lamb more.
Ma'am, I'm going to need your GPS coordinates to find out where you keep these lamb chops. I want you to think of me as like the person that's been attacked by the bandits, and you're the Good Samaritan. Now, what would you do for me if you came across the road and you saw me beaten and needing help?
Bring you a lamb chop.
That's what I'm talking about, sister. Now, I happen to be in Jacksonville, Texas right now. How long will it take you to get here?
It'd be cold.
I think
I
know
when that, cup. That's right.
Oh, I thought you meant when something freezes over.
Oh,
that's not
no.
what you meant. Okay, sorry.
No, that's not what I meant.
All right, I'm back to reality here. This good, positive conversation. Yeah, but
okay.
Your friend, there's hope for her, but you've got to start rebuilding. Now, the two elements that I think of the most are going to be zinc and iron when you've got a hair issue. But if she's got vitiligo, I mean, I'm already sold on what you're telling me, so I'm thinking we've got to find out if she's eating one food that's completely counterproductive to her having long-term health.
Okay.
That is super, super real, and we got to do it.
And so the best way is to come and get blood work done.
No, I never said that at all. That's
you don't think so?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry.
Of course,
I was thinking about the autoimmune. No, you're completely right. The ferritin level. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I got carried away. My mind. See, that goes to show there's a difference between men and women. Women have this massive frontal lobe, which means they can use more words and think. Us men, ours is like teeny tiny small. It's like a walnut. My brain's about as big as a Tyrannosaurus Rex, which is like the size of a marble. Yours is like two triple cheeseburgers or lamb chops. Yeah, but the ferritin test is one thing that she could do, and if that number is below 40, then we've just hit a home run in figuring this out.
Okay.
And so if she doesn't want to eat a lamb chop, then I would say unsulfured blackstrap molasses would be a very good choice to help give her the very things that she needs to rebuild her hair.
Okay.
Or maybe
even
collagen.
Oh, yeah, that's full of iron. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, my goodness, yes, it's awesome.
Okay, you think 1 teaspoon? I know it's
or more.
Okay.
Well, you know, there's a trade-off to everything. I think the exact amount of sugar that's found in molasses is going to be 24% sugar. But, I mean, did you ever, like, drizzle molasses over a biscuit with butter as a child?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you fantasizing right now about your child?
Yes, very good.
I thought it was really good, too, that and cornbread.
Could wine do this?
What do you mean?
She drinks wine.
How
you know,
much?
Not excess, but...
Oh. Well, I mean, that wouldn't be my first thought because,
okay.
You know, just like I mentioned to the man earlier, it
I'm
is very...
I'm just thinking sulfates in the wine and...
No, she could be reacting to that. And some
mm-hmm.
people do. That's legitimate. But that would be another way to explain she's an... See, when you consume something that's toxic or allergic, it completely... drains and exhausts your resources, and iron is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I read the World Health Organization where they made a report, and they said the number one predictable cause of death in the world is anemia. That's iron deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
The human body does not do well when you're deficient in iron or blood. It's horrible. The last time I checked, if we drained all the blood from a human, they would not live more than, I don't know, 30 days? I'm joking. They wouldn't live a second.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible tell us that the life is in the blood?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
I do.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
in more ways than one.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
So, zinc and iron could be her hair issues.
That like, could.
Strap molasses for her and cut out some things and see what's triggering her for this autoimmune disease.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, but I'm going to use code talk to tell you, okay?
Okay.
Well, partial code talk. The last two women that I saw that had very significant hair loss to the point that they were very, very stressed and concerned about the direction they were heading, they both tried... how can I phrase this? It's yellow. Never mind. But they applied this liquid to their hair.
Really?
And it caused their hair to regrow. And so those are the last two that I, you know, come to my mind. But I'm not telling a person what to do, but there is a substance that's found in this yellow liquid. It's called human growth hormone. And so when a person lays down at night to fall asleep at, say, 10 o'clock, this is like the golden window of opportunity for the pituitary to start releasing human growth hormone. And human growth hormone, what does it do? It just basically heals and repairs everything that's broken. I mean, this is so good. Now, if you stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning and you don't fall asleep at 10, well, guess what? You just totally missed your window of opportunity for releasing human growth hormone. So,
wow.
Things are not going to go well. You know what? If you asked me, if you said, Dr. Morgan, would you rather fall asleep at 10 o'clock and wake up wide awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and not go back to sleep, or would you rather wait till 1 o'clock in the morning to fall asleep and sleep for 8 hours? Well, I'm almost thinking I'd prefer I want that window of human growth hormone. I'm not saying that's the fountain of youth, but it sort of
right.
is.
Anyway, yeah.
But this
How about
is
9 o'clock? Does it turn on at 9 also?
Well, that only works when women are out there milking the sheep and the goats all day long. And now, I need to ask you a personal question. You do play the harmonica like the Pied Piper, don't you, when you walk through the fields?
No, I whistle.
Could you give me a little demo? Oh, my goodness. I'm all of a sudden in a trance. I want to follow you wherever you're going. Why, what's taking over me?
Oh, you're funny. Well, I'll let some other caller jump on. I think I've got enough information at least to get her thinking about this and started, and especially with the blood test.
One more question.
Yeah.
Where are you leading me today? Pied Piper?
My freezer?
I'm sorry, I'm busy. I have to get a haircut. Oh, you're talking to the lambs.
Freezer camp.
Oh, boy. This is too good. Well, thank you for your phone call. You're a good
friend.
All
right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Great information.
See you.
Bye-bye.
For some reason, I don't even know what I'm thinking about all of a sudden. Man, she was good. Okay. How much time do I have here? Is it like 30 seconds? Okay, no, I've got like a minute and 17, or actually I've got 1 minute. Okay, we've got 1 minute. Well, let's try.
All right, I have a sore spot on the bottom of my heel. It only hurts when I walk around barefoot.
Well, you got a heel spur.
I have shoes on them. Yeah, I think so. What do I do to it?
Okay, number one, you rub fresh lemon juice on it, and you can also try what's called apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
And if
soak it in the vinegar?
Yes,
or?
And they sell, even at the large stores, they sell apple cider vinegar gummy bears.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, and you can just chew on those throughout the day and see if this pain goes away, but you're going to have to stretch. You stretch your calf and stretch your foot, but the way to get through this is to walk barefoot on the grass.
Okay.
And I can tell by talking to you that you like the dirt. Am I correct?
Oh, yes.
See, I knew. I could tell. So if you walk barefoot in the grass or on the dirt, this will all go away.
Okay.
All right. Good deal.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day.
Bye. You too. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.